Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. I'm your host, Smiley, for today, and I'm joined by Vangelda, Corey, and Crack. Almost a full house. Tell you guys, make us start with Vangelda. How are you?
Masa, I'm stressed. Make nobody come between it. I'm stressed.
Charlie, this is the energy they take start.
Make nobody come between it.
Pleasantries and
Hello to our listeners. Good evening to everyone. Hello, fellow panelists. I hope everybody's fine. Actually, I don't. But yeah, I hope everybody's fine.
Okay, let me move on to the people whose teams are in a better place. Corey, what's up?
I'm good, bro. You know, when your team is high and flying and things are in order, you have less stress on your head. Like when I wake up, I don't think, hey, who we go sign today? So, you know, I'm okay. My team won over the weekend. We got the Premiership up to a good start. I mean, life is okay. Apart from the fucking country we live in, I mean, life is okay.
Crack, what's up?
For this episode, call me Gasmilla. Because actually 3 points. Hey, actually 3 points. I go. Somebody can relate. Hello, my girl. Yes, sir. You really like you don't know me? Yes, sir. I'll be your master. Yes, sir. We got 3 points. Yes, sir.
If I block you, know be me. If I look block you, know be me. CSM.
It looks like almost everybody here is in a good mood. So let's just start with the Premier League that started over the weekend. So it was an exciting first weekend of Premier League action, as expected. We started on Friday with Man United beating Fulham 1-0. On Saturday, we had Liverpool beating Ipswich 2-0. It was a hard-fought victory, but in the end, they crossed the line. We also saw Aston Villa beating West Ham 2-1. A whole bunch of interesting results. Arsenal also beat Wolves 2-0, one of the most impressive performances over the weekend. And then on Sunday, we saw Chelsea losing to Man City 2-0. On Monday, we saw Tottenham drawing 1-1 with Leicester City. Before we go to the obvious place, I'll start with Van Gaal. I don't know what... The way Van Gelder no day good mood is, I don't know whether we can start with that.
Master, ask your question, we can move on.
The week, eh?
I just want to ask, who impressed you the most over the weekend?
You don't know ball play, so I don't know. But it was actually, actually, I have an answer. Like, who has in a person or who has
which
in
club?
The team?
Which club?
As for the clubs, I think it's the first game of the season. Clubs are still, you know, getting up to speed with their fitness and everything.
Like if you win 5-0, you go talk so.
But we are still getting up to speed. So I don't know what again you want me to talk. But I do want to point out an aspect of a particular club that I was impressed with. So Manchester United. I was very impressed by Harry Maguire's performance. And I'm just talking about Maguire. Not be the whole team, just Maguire. I think he had a fantastic game on Friday night. He was everywhere. He played really, really well. And for a player that maybe 2 summers ago or 3 summers ago, he should have been in jail by now in Greece and forgotten about, for him to be here playing well, you know, for everybody to see him and go like, you know what, this is how you revive your career. I was very, very impressed. I was very, very impressed by Maguire's performance. I did watch a bit of Arsenal's game. I think, again, Arsenal just doing Arsenal things, starting the season strongly, playing well, 2 goals. Saka was brilliant on the day. I think I like Ait Nouri a lot, the left back of Wolves. He's a very good defender. He's not a bad player at all. So for him to have been that ranged by... For him to have been that ranged by Saka, then it'd be like Saka pick in mind, give the season. Wow. I just hope that the limps will be less and he will show us more of the body feints and, you know, cutting in and crossing and all those things that he's very good at. I am still worried that Arsenal have not signed a right-handed midfield winger to support him. I don't want, you see, when you have good players and all, high quality players, we want to watch them for long. And the one way to watch them for long is when they have support. So if they go play some mundane game like against some team from Division 2, Saka doesn't have to start. But Arsenal at the moment doesn't have somebody to deputize him. So I hope, I mean, there's still a week and a half or something left in the transfer market. So I hope maybe they will be able to sign someone to support Saka. Chelsea played well. We didn't win, so it doesn't matter that we played well. But we did play well. There's still a lot of things that we need to get right. And I think we will eventually. When we will get it right, I don't know. I just hope we'll get it right as quickly as possible. Man City didn't look like they've left third gear, which means it's scary hours for all of us. I didn't watch the Tottenham game because what's the point? It's Tottenham.
For you.
Maza. Don't angry me, please. Don't angry me. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to match week 3, that Arsenal against United game. Because it seems United have revamped their defense. I think.
Is it Arsenal or is it Liverpool?
Is it? Wait, when is Arsenal is playing City? I think Mark reached 3 or 4. United is playing Liverpool, but Arsenal is playing City very early this season. I think in the next three or 4 weeks.
Both City and Tottenham.
Yeah, no, so Arsenal has the next 4 weeks. Barca,
Aston Villa, City, and then we play Tottenham.
Oh, okay. You see, but you play Tottenham after the international break, I will assume, because
I have to
it's
check.
September. Yeah, I'll assume it's after the international week. But yeah, sorry. Those are my opening thoughts about the first weekend of the season. Yeah, I'm excited about the season, but let's see how it goes.
Since you mentioned Arsenal, I want to ask Corey, with all the expectations on Arsenal coming into the season, and how well you played in your first game, do you think Arsenal is the team to beat this season?
I watched a lot of games this weekend. And I think it will be a hard season. It will be a tough league, much tougher than it was last season. Last season, we knew Arsenal and City were running away with this. Liverpool tried to keep up for as long as possible and fell off. But, I mean, it's the first game. There are a lot of wobbles and misplaced passes and so on and so forth. People are not up to speed with the pace of the league. And, you know, people are still coming out of preseason. People went to Euros. It's been a 20 summer. So everybody came back late. Everybody's now Charlie. Everybody's rusty. I watched preseason for different clubs. And then Charlie, people are looking good, bro. I think we aren't the club to beat. Oh well, we could be. We could be. We are up there for sure. But I think it will be much tougher. Like if we face United, I expect a much tougher game. If we face Chelsea, even in their position, I expect a much tougher game. Depending on which players they field, but I just feel as though everybody has gotten a little wiser, a little stronger. A lot of people threw money at their problems. People are still throwing money at their problems. I don't know whether it will fix it, but
throw some small subliminals throughout your submission.
I'm making a point about where Arsenal been. I think come, let's say December, we'll see the shape. I think we'll still see City, Liverpool. Liverpool, I'm a little sus on because I want them to test slots well. Like the Ipswich Town, then give them opening day. It'd be cool chop. I know what they hide you. I was impressed with Ipswich though. They aren't coming to muck about, but it's Liverpool, bro. Like. The players are still the Liverpool players. McAllister still there. Salah horny for another season. I don't know why. Meanwhile, you grew. Cool down, make the small boys to play some. But it's going to be a good season. I think Arsenal's going to be up there. Liverpool, City. And funny enough, I got to say, the signing of De Ligt and Mazzurri, this Zexy guy, I don't know. I want to see another game or two more games from him to make my judgment. But I like what I saw from Mazuri. Delict is Delict. But can Ten Hag do the business with them is the question. And he won't, because as much as you people snuck past Fulham, it wasn't an easy game. And I expected to see more of an easy game. But again, it's the first game of the season. So I don't expect everybody to be up to it. I'm sure this is his first 45 minutes or something of this. I mean, you can't judge people on that. So from an unbiased point of view, I was impressed with what I saw from United. As to whether you guys can carry throughout the whole season, it's another question.
So, Crack, since Corey has brought United into the mix, and as somebody who you've repeatedly said that Ten Hag there, if you give him 10 Messi safe, you no go trust up. How do you feel about United's performance in the first game, and whether your mind has been changed a bit, especially looking at the signings and all of that?
I say they kill one guy and they say you are a witness, so we are calling you to the police station for further investigation. Then I'll send guys to the team.
You tell me, okay. Anyways, you guys say, kill one guy. But the top desk, yeah. I'm calling you to the police station. Anyways, see, yeah, I always say that, like, structure is everything, right? It's just like in any business, good CEO, good CFO, good CEO, good GM, everything, it trickles down, right? For so many years, we've not really put proper football people in place. We're running the business with businessmen and people that loved the club or they've been there for a long time. We're running the club like it's a family business. Like, yes, because it's a double interne because it was bought by a family, a Glazers, and they never really put correct people in place, right? And, you know, there are sometimes situations where you can win matches in spite of the coach. That is what is happening in United now, because I believe every decision isn't being made by Ten Hag alone. Right, because right now, last season, if you check last season, the difference between last season and this season is that, look, for the first time, I actually saw your man make early changes to rest players. For the first time, I actually saw him play the players that are supposed to play, bar two people in the first 11. But then, I'm going to say something. I know that United fans might not like it. We created more chances because we're pressing very well from the front in the first half as compared to the second half. And one player that he's not good, but he did well when it came to pressing, was Mason Mount. I'm not saying that because of that you start to. I'm just being objective here because it was a game of two halves. We all saw when we made the changes in the second half, the control, we lost the control a bit. Because we didn't also have a replacement for Casemiro in midfield. So we still had to play Casemiro. And obviously, Maino coming back, he hasn't gotten a lot of games under his belt. So we couldn't play for 90 minutes as well. We took Mount out. We took Maino out. We brought Sexy Man in. We brought Garnacho in with energy and things. But the difference between Garnacho and Ahmad is like raw talent, a tactician, right? Ahmad, I always say that Ahmad still needs to be stronger, right? But when you give the ball to Ahmad, you are sure that 9 out of 10 is not going to lose it. Either he's going to make the right pass or he's going to make the right play. Garnacho is a brilliant player who takes a lot of risk. And sometimes you can ask yourself that Akwa with Kranti, they are not drink. Sometimes he runs with the ball, you know that, hey, Enko Siaga. But something happens. So when we had the two, and obviously, Obochomla, Rashford over there as well. I mean, the tracking back reduced. When we put Martinez on the left, they weren't really attacking from the left. We took Dalot back to his rightful position. That was the right back. He wasn't really attacking well. So that the second half, we can learn him because the second half felt like United of old. But the positive thing from the match was that, look, we only reduced Fulham to 2 shots on target, which we couldn't do the whole of last season. We only had 14 shots and only 2 on target. We're averaging 18 last season. It was a free for all. Anybody at all, could you imagine we faced a championship side in the FA Cup and they still managed like what? Smiley, 18 shots, eh?
18 shots. Newport County.
Newport. 18 shots. It was free for all. Like, that man, I always say that you can have a terrible keeper, eh? But if you are not helping that keeper, things are always going to go bad. Because there were some goals that, yes, I'm not going to lie, it was Onana's fault. But there are some goals that, actually, if the team prevented it and shielded him, it wouldn't come to him. It builds a keeper's confidence. Imagine you're a keeper. No matter how good you are, imagine if you are going to the match expecting 20 shots. Why? Like, every match, you expect 20 shots. And for the first time, our defense is assured. We actually don't have boys in defense. We have men. Maguire is playing like the Maguire of old, which I love. The reason why I love that is, Maguire is not a player that has ego. If you bench him the next match, he's not going to create a fuss. He's not going to release a statement. He's not going to do any press conference, nothing. He's not going to have his brother. He's not going to have his brother release, tweet anything. He's not going to have his mother tweet anything. He's not going to do that. He'll bid his time because he knows what it's about. He's going to wait anytime you call on him. So every title winning side or any good team, you have people that know that, Charlie, I'm a quality squad player, and when you call on me, I'll be there. This is a brilliant headache to have because, mind you, we are not going to have Euro till like December. And I know they said September or whatever, but 3 months, right? Smiley, that was like November, yes, or so.
November, early December.
Yeah, I want us to wait safe to like February or something and bring him back. We have to bring him back. Don't rush him. No time to rush. Cool down. Calm, Euro. You see Mazraoui, United fans, I loved Wan-Bissaka. But then I got tired of defending him because his flaws were too glaring. Do you know, for the first time, I feel like Chelsea fans having a player like Reece James who can defend, who can attack, who can pass, who can do everything. I'm not saying Mazraoui is a great defender, but he's smart enough, positional awareness. What I like about him is that he's assured in possession. He doesn't lose the ball. He has played under Ten Hag before. He has still not forgotten the system. Because if you people study United, Ten Hag plays in a way that his fullbacks always comes, they are inverted. They come and join the midfield or sometimes go as far as playing behind the strikers with those 1-2 passes. So if you don't have a player that is comfortable with the ball that can do that, bro, you're not going to understand what we are doing. People were talking about, oh, Mazraoui doesn't cross the ball enough. This guy crosses the ball. There was a comparison where I saw Wan-Bissaka was crossing more balls than Mazraoui. And I was like, do you know where modern football is, when you have smart plays, you don't cross balls just like that. Your right back can actually end up in a box, play 1-2 intricate passes, and it will lead to a goal, or play a short across, or one-time pass, papa to the midfield. And people saw it. I don't understand why infatuated pride. Make a cross, make a Bruno head. Why will you be crossing when there is Bruno as your false nine? It doesn't make sense. I like how we are integrating Sexy Man into the team slowly but surely. Next match, I know my coach. He's stubborn. Once the first 11 works, he's going to repeat it. And we know what we are expecting. It's still going to be the same 11 against Brighton. We know ball. Because I saw good things. Sexy Man, I'm happy. We still need one midfielder that we are supposed to sign. I can't wait for Rasmus to come back because we need a target man. And he's the best striker in the team, whether people like it or not. Because in his first season, he scored 10 Premier League goals. I don't care. He scored 16 goals in all. In his first season, not many strikers can boast of that. So I still want him. I still need him. Because he's a striker that can still make something out of nothing. You need those strikers. You need a target man. There were so many times that we needed somebody at the end of short crosses. Bruno wasn't there. Instinctively, he's not a striker, so he might not end up there. Rasmus is good at that. But what I'm most impressed with is how compact United is. Shielding the back four. Not leaving too much spaces in between. When you watch the match, Fulham was able to exploit us only in the second half. after the changes came, defensive lapses and things. That's when they had three-on-one break, and Maguire did what they have been praising Van Dijk to be doing all this while. They say all right defender, but now I do not call Maguire all right defender because they don't respect him. We are not questioning where the people will praise him. Maguire do the be the players and sha, but if he be, this guy do the he be he do, but Maguire only be the players and sha, we go take him. So me, I like the coaches they've surrounded this guy with, because having a legend who knows the club, who is respected by everybody, having a voice to you go there on guard, because succession plan, your guy knows if you plenty, Rude Goofy take over for him easily. So right now he's listening more instead of being that stubborn guy. You know, I love that he didn't put Sancho in the team. I love that he didn't play Anthony. We don't want to see those chaffs again. When everybody is fully fit, Anthony there no go enter the bench chef, useless player, may go there. So I don't want to talk much, but then comparing our first game of last season to this game, even though both ended in 1-0, there was little controversy in this game, and we can actually see what we're doing because we missed a lot of chances. First half could have been 5-0 easily. Bruno alone, Casemiro, all the chances were falling to them. So I'm actually happy with our direction. I said if we get another midfielder, we are winning the league.
So speaking of missed chances, I want to ask you a quick one. That Rashford pass to Garnacho, was it a good pass or a bad pass?
No, it was a bad pass. I know people want to say that you must score a lot, but when I think sometimes, I don't know if people play football or not. When you are running and you're in your stride, you have to break and use your weaker foot. Anything can happen because you lack balance. Yes, he could have scored. He should have. But the first place, no, was the pass given directly in front of him or it was behind him. He had to stop. Sometimes when you stop like that and to turn, you can lose balance. He will take some of the blame because he's supposed to go, but the pass wasn't good. And I still stand by it. That pass wasn't good.
I absolutely agree with you on that one because people just tend to look at things in a very simple way. And it not be every pass completed, that's a good pass. I remember long ago when Suarez was still at Liverpool, Jordan Henderson spoke in an interview. He was talking about playing with players like Suarez in an interview. And he was talking about how when you play with certain players, when they are so good, they even make you look good because you can give them a very bad pass. They'll control the ball and go and score. It will count as an assist for you. But the pass you give wasn't a good pass. You go give crossfield pass and then you go land player maybe around the shoulder and you have to take like two or three touches to control the ball. In the end, it's a pass completed, but it's not a good pass because if you give the pass in a way that the player has to take multiple touches to control the ball, then you didn't do your best. I know right now the football tacticals on Twitter, then get some new terminology that they use. Then they call them passing empathy. I don't like that kind.
Stop it. Passes be two. Either it be good pass or it be hospital pass. That be all. You know, be now the car. Which one be empathy? The ball and pass give you to you for be what empathetic to who about what?
Oh, but Masha, that, but move right now, but they already get pre assist before the assist.
Over the same day,
on Saturday, we saw the difference between a good player, like a very sensible player, giving a pass. And somebody who, in sense, he did feel fluctuate. In the Liverpool game, Suarez, he had a very similar chance. That his assist, it was very similar, in a similar position. But in this case, he passed the ball ahead so that a player could continue his run and miss the ball. Rather than a player who is running at top speed, then he played a pass like straight at him. So he has to immediately... Yeah, so he has to break his run.
Not diagonal,
and now try to score with his weaker foot. Meanwhile, you should have placed the pass on the person's stronger foot, because there was enough space to do that. So these are the little differences that separates the top players from
the... You're supposed to pass ahead of players to make it so that they don't go offside. When the ball is in front of them, they're in offside. Once you pass it horizontally and you take one toenail above, something offside will counter you, see, right now we still the draw lines. We can't tell you, see, your toenail go over the line. So it was a bad pass. It was a horrible pass.
Mangiola.
Sorry, I just want to make correction. It was Salah, not Suarez. Just
Salah. I was just talking about Suarez.
The correction you need. That's the correction you need. The correction you need. Go correct your squad. Nonsense.
I want to talk about Liverpool for a moment.
We want to talk about Chelsea.
Oh, you will get there. Make it talk about Liverpool.
I just want to talk about. I think, and everybody says like Ipswich played well, but I think Liverpool didn't get out of their like second gear in the first half. They didn't manage the game well. Let me put it. They didn't manage the game well in the first half. Because in the second half, when they started managing the game well, started passing properly, bro, they were creating chance after chance after chance after chance. If they had done that in the first half, it would have been classic Liverpool again, opening day against a newly promoted side. The newly promoted side will collect 5-0, then they'll go home. Or this one, they were home. So, yeah, they will just take the 5-0 and walk to their hotel or wherever, their training ground, and go and sit there, cool, no issues. I think that they can cause problems, but they can cause problems for the smaller teams. If they meet the bigger teams that have more established midfields, better players, their style of play might not necessarily work. Because if you watch the first half, they were finding it very difficult to escape the counter press or the hybrid press that Ipswich was making. And in the second half, they just started thinking more quickly. So before the pass had come to any player, they begin to think about, okay, I need to put the ball here, I need to put it there. And that pass from Trent into Salah's path, who then passes into Jota's path for the first goal. That was a very nice, very beautiful pass. And the way they made some nice triangles in order to get that ball to Trent for him to pass it to Salah. So I think that they might improve as the season goes on. But I'm intrigued to see whether their manager will be able to cope with more tactically astute managers, more clubs that have also technically high-quality technical players, just like Liverpool's players, how they're going to manage that and how they're going to do it. And as you said, it's going to be a very difficult season for everyone. And I think it's going to be very interesting as well.
So as Van Gelder was speaking, I just saw some breaking news that Cole Palmer has just won the PFA Young Player of the Year. Is it well deserved or not?
Of course, yes.
It's ridiculous. Something else happened in that same space, which is ridiculous, because he won the Young Player of the Year, but he didn't make the Team of the Year.
I mean, that one is not necessarily. It's not ridiculous. Player of the Year. If you win Player of the Year, you don't.
Well, you know, end up. Yeah, make, but that's not ridiculous.
That one, it doesn't make sense. But Young Player of the Year is not necessarily because
who made the Team of the Year out of him?
Raya, so, Saliba, Van Dijk, Gabi. Walker, nah, Rodri, Rice, the front four.
Mm-hmm.
Haaland, Foden, Watkins.
And they all, I can't say they all deserve it more. Between Watkins and Palmer is close.
No, Watkins, I can understand because he played for Villa. Nobody can tell me that Foden deserves to be there ahead of Palmer. He didn't. He's the player of the season.
What about them?
He's the player of the season. What are you talking about?
He's the player of the season. You don't play better pass who's there. Hey, he was the reason why City won the league. What are you saying?
Literally.
You why? Palmer, they scored 4 penalties in a match and make them go insult him. Just take him like that.
What will not sit here and is lie that Foden is the reason why City won the league. What we will not sit here and do.
Okay.
What?
Okay, but was he their best player last season?
No, Rodri was. Let me tell you something.
Rodri has been consistently good. You see, sometimes we confuse consistency with the player of the season. Don't do that. When people are talking about Rodri, they are trying to accumulate what he has achieved as well. Right? Yes. Let me tell you, Casemiro's first season, right? The goals and assists he had, combine it. Rodri hasn't had that level of this one for City yet. Do you know that? Rodri played exceptional last season, but in clutch moments when City needed goals,
It was Foden.
In big matches.
It was Foden, bro. When
City needed somebody to show up, it was Phil Foden.
So why didn't
you let's not even do this? Let's not even do this.
What you see?
He had the player of the season, people... and nobody complained about Foden winning the player of the season. I bet who objected to it? I want to know who objected to it. Who said it was supposed to be Rodri?
Nobody. Why you put this?
Why?
Look, it's not about. You see, you are making it look like I'm not being objective.
Okay, let me give you. Let me tell you something. Do you know how many times a keeper has won clean sheet and not been a keeper of the season?
De Gea, for example.
You see, that's what I'm saying. That some metrics there, the team success, the player success, when they meet, it can overshine one player's success in a bad team. Do you know that? Sometimes it happens.
Look, I am not. Look, don't get me wrong. Again, as I said, I think, and it's my opinion. It doesn't. You don't have to.
That doesn't mean you see that. You see, this is something I don't like. Last season.
Where will they talk about this? This last season. Where will they talk about? Every time Rodri didn't play. Rodri didn't play four matches last season for City. They lost all four. How many games did Foden not play that City could not create and score and win? How many? So if you tell me that the player that is the glue
let me
for
tell
the
you
team,
something. This is a skewed argument. This is a very skewed argument. Do you know why? Because he knows we are not keeping tabs on Foden not playing and this one. Let me ask you my question. 2 seasons ago, right? Who was City's best player? It was Gundogan, right?
He was their most clutch player, yes.
Who win the player of the season?
I actually can't remember. 2 seasons ago. Was
the
it
season
Gundogan?
Before last. Wasn't it Haaland?
It was Gundogan, bro. I'm telling you.
EPL player of the season. Who winner?
Player of the season.
Did Haaland win player of the season in his first season?
He won player of the season. He won player of the season.
The one where he scored the 40 goals.
So let me ask you a question. In that season, cool down. See this argument. We catch up. In that season, who was City's most important player?
Haaland. He scored 40 goals.
You see what I'm telling you, I will catch up.
At the end of the day,
this is what
I'm telling you,
matches, this is the same argument you are making for Rodri. But I'm telling you that in matches where City, not the seat up, if the Gundogan way they come in, can't score. Even to the last day, when they needed to win, it was still Gundogan. Even in big matches, it was still Gundogan popping up with last minute goals and things. So don't say that because
they're trying to restart him now.
I'm really shocked saying I'm letting you understand that.
You take the numbers, put the tabletop, TikTok, say, Foden, Foden won the player of the year last year because he broke his own personal record. Like, he played out of his skin. I'm not saying he didn't play well last year. He played well, but he played out of his skin. But that play out of his skin, personally for me, I don't think it was better than the season that Palmer had. I just don't think so.
You see, you are missing the point.
You're a standout player in a useless team.
Shock. Hey, Bruno, since Bruno came United, Bruno in first two seasons for United, go and check his numbers. Go and check Bruno's numbers. Do you think he was near player of the season? Do you think he was near? I'm saying your question. Do you think Bruno was near? This Palmer numbers, you shout about Palmer. We've seen better numbers in first season. Where they're not winning player of the season. So stop what you are doing. That's what we won't make you understand. Say, stop batting. Palmer was good for Chelsea. He was great. Everybody applauds, say, the young player of the season, without a doubt, is Cole Palmer. Cole Palmer should no way. You are not even making a case for him being ahead of Watkins. So even so, we go talk, say, oh, maybe we go make arguments
for Watkins.
But the
reason why, the reason why I didn't put Palmer ahead of Watkins is not because I don't think Palmer is better than Watkins. But it's because Watkins plays for Aston Villa.
He had a breakout season. You are saying the same way Phil Foden had a breakout season. He's there. So why doesn't he deserve to be there?
I just said that for me, I just think Palmer should be there ahead of Foden.
Your argument for it is doesn't hold. That's what we won't make you understand.
Wait. We have allowed you to go back and forth. Even if your argument, he chopped PFA away, not chopped player of the this team, who won the league? Just the simple fact say in team one, the position of his team at the end gives him plus one. So if even if you put them together, that plus one be why he win the this team. And that's why he's there instead of Copa.
And that is fair.
And then maybe
enough.
We end the argument for them.
Maybe we end up for them.
This argument there, challenge.
This boy be the reason why people go start hate Palmer. This guy be the reason why people go start hate Palmer. And one of the reasons why I was never missing this pod was because you got away with an argument last time. That boy, I'm not going to let you repeat yourself and do that thing. Because what you do right now is absurd. You see, this we are with the love when our players. We are with the love when our players with the love when our team, man. We've had players that have had amazing seasons. Rashford, 2 seasons ago, scored 30 goals. Do you know our most important player in that season was Casemiro? Every United player will tell you that. Casemiro's first season was brilliant. When we didn't have Casemiro in matches, you were seeing that Casemiro was missing. But you know who was banging the goals as well? It was Rashford, because he was still coming up clutch for us. It's the same thing as the Rodri and the Foden argument. Anytime City needed a goal, when they were down or they needed, even to the last day against West Ham, it was still Foden that came up with that goal when West Ham thought they were coming back. He was the one that broke their hearts. And he did it repeatedly and consistently.
Twice.
He showed up in every big matches. You understand? So what we are talking about, you see, then they give me Balusev for Curry in there. You see, just the argument, you know, the argument be nonsense. The argument be flawed. If you're flat, they don't give you balloon. They're not balloon.
Still on the topic of Chelsea, over the past few days, Jamie Carragher made some very interesting comments about Chelsea and their recruitment strategy.
Chelsea have just got to stop buying players, and players have got to stop signing for Chelsea. I don't know why, if I was a player, I would look at that Chelsea project. Why would you sign? The only reason why you would sign is because someone might say, your agent might say, we're getting a 7-year deal on big money. That's guaranteed money for 7 years. You know what I'd say? Back yourself as a player. Sign a 4-year deal at a proper club and back yourself to do well. And then when you're due for a renewal, your money goes up anyway. I don't understand why players are signing 7-year deals.
What if you backed yourself as a player anyway, Jamie, and you saw the list of names that are there and you're saying, I could be part of that?
Part of what?
Part of this young, exciting team that could be.
It's not a young and exciting team. You've bought João Felix, right? Tell me where he's going to play. They've signed Neto a week ago. Where's he going to play when you've already got Cole Palmer? So...
Can't you play those three?
So where would you play Enzo Fernandez, a £100 million player who played number 10? Where would you play Nkunku? So what I'm saying is, great football teams need competition. But every football team I played in, there was 7 or 8 players who knew they were playing every week. And then you've got 6 or 7 players who are fighting for 3 positions. And then you've got another 6 or 7 players in a squad who know the squad players. That is a healthy squad. What Chelsea have got right now, and you're asking where João Felix is going to play. You know what I want to ask you? Where is he going to get changed at the training ground? I'm deadly serious. If you've got 40 players, how are they all in one dressing room? How are you putting a training session on as a manager?
We've seen the first cracks in this early stage of the season with the Raheem Sterling.
Van Gilder, what do you have to say about this?
First of all, I want to read something from Cavasoloco of Sky Sports. After I read that, then I'll tell you what I think about it. See, Chelsea are proud of the fact that the 42 players they have in their first team pool have a total of 191 years remaining on their contracts.
44. Chelsea's new owners, 44 players.
Let me read the thing. I'm coming. Chelsea's new owners have pursued a policy of signing players on long-term contracts with relatively low wages by Premier League standards. The average base wage of the players Chelsea have signed in the past 2 years is believed to be below the Premier League average of £72,000 a week. Chelsea players Chelsea players currently at the club have an average of 4.5 years remaining on their contracts. Chelsea see players on long-term deals with average base wages of between 60 to 70,000 a week as an asset and not as a liability. If the player performs, he is rewarded through his incentivized contracts with big bonuses. If he underperforms, he receives only his base wage, which means he is easier to sell. Long-term contracts have also helped Chelsea when it comes to complying with Premier League and UEFA financial rules, as the cost of a transfer fee can be spread in accounts over a maximum of 5 years. Last week, Kopama signed a new contract, which will keep him at Stamford Bridge till 2023. The contract is incentivized in line with the club's wage policy. Several new signings are believed to have taken wage cuts in order to move to Chelsea. Chelsea's owners are convinced they now have the right strategy to make sure the club are challenging for major honours again as soon as possible. Enzo Maresca will have a 25 player Premier League squad when the window closes. Now, make my point. If I finish, you go make your point. When a former player and a pundit of the caliber of Jamie Carragher sits on Sky Sports News and says, Chelsea have got to stop signing players. It's true. I think we should stop signing players. But you can't say players should stop going to Chelsea. And the worst thing to even say is say they should go to a proper club. Sorry, but which one is the proper club? No. Is it the club that he supposed that they can't sign even my left shoe? Is it that one? Is that the proper club? At the end of the day, you may not like Chelsea's transfer policy. You may not like the fact that Chelsea have a lot of players on their books. But Chelsea believe they have a strategy. Whether you and I agree with that strategy or not, it's neither here nor there. Because what you and I think is not going to change what Chelsea wants to do. But if you are... What do you want to say, crack?
Yeah.
But if you are going to sit on a platform like Sky Sports News and make outrageous claims about Chelsea from an uninformed, unintelligible point of view, ignorant to an extent, with the position that you have, then you have to be called out and you have to be stopped. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that somebody of the stature of Jamie Carragher, who works, by the way, in the same company as this guy I just read from, the research is out there, the numbers are out there, but you choose to make a narrative about a club you don't like anyway. Me, I've said it here.
I have to stop you there. Wait, before you land. This uninformed point of view, let's alert. You are getting more triggered. Do you know why you're getting triggered? Because
it's emotional damage.
You partly believe in what he is saying, else you wouldn't care.
I don't.
Wait. Pause. He said, I believe Chelsea should stop signing players. Same thing Carragher said. Chelsea should stop signing players. You are annoyed at the fact that what he's saying makes sense. Look, even if come August 31st, Maresca has 25 players, your first game of the season, there have been two different players that have mentioned issues about not being selected. One was a 100 million player. The other is one of your highest paid players. So this issue about you are the lowest wage of the care over the care years, challenge. I won't make him point before we go revisit.
Is he? I'm coming, crack. Let me just.
Okay, sorry.
He lets you talk, so if I make him land. No, what, crack. What, make what, give yourself.
What can come, bro? For you now, dictionary more. We the can't talk. I the table. Which point again you want to? But in Papa never perfume. Anyways, so I want to start by saying that you guys can see some comparison between Chelsea and how some people are running our economy now, right? One of them running for president said, when the fundamentals are weak, the dollar will expose you. So the results will expose you, right? So, and you are saying that somebody said, Carragher said, don't sign for a team like But I don't know if your strategy is just the same as the planting for food and jobs. It's basically the same thing. We don't see the end game of it. You understand? But Corey and Smiley, I need your help for something, right? I'm about to read the list. When I read the list, when I mention one name, they count one. If I mention two, we want to see the number of players some team has, because somebody
if
said...
If you're counting it, can I... If the person is not there... No, you say they can't count the players. You know if we count one, two, three, if the player no day there.
Oh, God.
I just want to say...
Don't tell me what you're telling me.
Continue.
Mind your business. Smiley, let's do this. Enzo Fernandez. Modric.
Smiley, you're muted.
Oh, Smiley, I want to hear your voice. Mostert. Enzo Fernandez.
Two.
Make it start again.
Enzo Fernandez.
I'm here. One.
Modric.
Two.
Chukwu Emeka.
Three.
Trois. Cole
Palmer.
Four.
Quatre.
Drewsbury.
Five.
Conor Gallagher.
Six.
Saicedo.
No. The person where they spend where then they can't unveil him for Atletico Madrid tomorrow.
Saicedo.
Seven.
Mm-hmm.
Seven.
Tino.
Eight.
Tana. Acquisidio or say Casadei or say Casadei from Italy.
Nine.
Omari Kellerman.
Ten.
Renato.
11.
Lavia.
12.
And at the enter some zone, will be really interesting. Abego, every club, how many keepers they get?
Like three max.
Okay, yeah. Good. So I can't mention just keepers, right? Kepa.
Where will 13. Keep, I forget.
13.
Robert Sanchez.
14.
Jorgensen.
15.
Bettinelli.
16.
Petrovic.
17.
Bergstrom.
18.
One team has six keepers. Let's go on. Raheem Sterling.
Six keepers. 19. Okay.
Romelu Lukaku.
20.
Madueke.
21.
Nicolas Jackson.
22.
Nkunku.
23.
Broja.
24.
Pedro Neto.
25.
David Datro Fofana.
26.
Tyreek George.
27.
Washington.
28.
My guy.
29.
29 Angelo. Striker. Top striker from Barcelona.
Angelo.
30.
We cut 30. Okay. Alex Matos.
31.
Ronnie Stada.
32.
Alex De Sassi.
33.
Mark Cucurella.
34.
Tosin. The boy that buy from Atletico Madrid. No.
35.
Badiashil.
36.
36.
Levi Cowell.
37.
Trevor Chalobah.
38.
39.
Ben Chilwell. Yes, 39. No, it'd be 39. No, Ben Chilwell would be 40. If I mention Ben Chilwell, it'd be 40.
Okay, 40.
Ben Chilwell would be 40. Rhys James.
41.
Marlo Gusto.
42.
Wesley Fofana.
43.
Josh Echampon.
44.
Bashir Humphreys.
45.
Okay, I beg you, so we could do some math here. 11 minus times. Three. No.
Okay, you finish your math first.
11 times 3 is what?
33.
Okay, so. 33, right? So, averagely, if 11 players, right? So, Chelsea get 11-11-3. Three different 11, first 11 teams. They can put
I beg
down
you,
three.
Ibi.
Cool down. We'll make a
first. Are you sure?
Oh, I bet 11 times 3 is 33. Right?
Okay.
So, each so right now, cool down. So, each position, two players, that player in back. Number 7, two players in back. You understand? Number 5, two players in back. Mm-hmm. So, 45 minus 33.
12.
Chelsea can still set out another 11. So, Chelsea kwan omo first 11, bakun 4. And they have plus 1. I don't even add coaching staff. Right. So, Carragher's argument. Carragher's.
You see, when I.
Even the 40. Oh, Spagnola. Even the 45, man. Make with J3 for top. Because he said the player sold.
No, you see, this is my problem.
Look, you have 53 Roger. Players. You have 53 players. Eight out on loan. You know, 45 you catch.
Where did you get this? You see,
the eight players that are on loan, they are on your books. Cool down. You still pay them. Make my argument for Gallagher. Yeah, I say Gallagher for Carragher. Jamie Carragher was like, it's good that as a team, you have competition for places, right? But then again, why will I be a player? And if Chelsea wants to sign me, I will go when I don't understand their direction, when I don't understand anything they are doing. Right? Right now, on an average, let me take the last 11 out. Safe. Right? Make I take the last 11 out. So let's say 33. Let's go with 33 players. Right? So for every position, averagely, Chelsea gets what? Two players behind that player. If I'm a player and I'm signing for Chelsea, right? What will my mentality be? Can they promise me that I'm going to start? As a big player, can they promise me I'm going to start? How is the development going to be like? Jamie Carragher made a point that this guy is trying to overlook that. Even in a training session, right? How do you even manage it?
You see, this is my big problem. Jeremy Carragher.
Let me tell you something.
Crack.
You sack FM. Make her talk finish.
There were palpable lies in that list.
Smiley. He's infringing on my right to talk. He's infringing on my right to talk. Let me talk. If you go left the pod, you will make you talk. Why? We go left for you, make you talk. So what we with the talk say? I better go before then sack this guy. What be name? The
Potter.
Brighton coach.
Oh, Pochettino.
Potter. I didn't sack Potter, right? Potter said the squad is bloated. They don't even get space for people. For dressing room,
for the changing room, sir.
Why? Then Sakam. Pochettino come. Pochettino go feed the press conference. Then tell us, oh, Chelsea just signed player. And say, why? I don't know. The guy not be aware of players, say, then go sign, can't give up. Wait. Then Sakam. He go. Then say, performance based. He go. New coach come. He go carry Pep Light. Pep Light will come. Preseason and everything. You see how your mind is struggle put out consistent team. Because there's something called dissent. The players, once they don't feel appreciated, valued, and sense, it will be matter. First game of the season, you already have Raheem Sterling. A senior player like Raheem Sterling. In come the release statement. Because in before the match...
Release, you see, again, his camp didn't release a statement. They asked him... They told him that he won't play on Friday. Daily Mail asked him for a comment about whether he was going to play or not. They gave that comment on Friday. Then Daily Mail waited. After the lineup came up and he wasn't in there, they decided to say Raheem Sterling's camp has released a statement. They didn't release a statement. They asked him for a comment.
I beg you. Was I wrong with my statement? Corey, smiley, tell me.
A statement was released. That's the bottom line. From
a statement was not released. A comment is different from a statement.
If you said a comment or statement, that's just semantics.
No.
What was the caption? What was the headline?
That was the caption of Daily Mail.
What was the headline?
Won't sit here and do.
What was the headline?
They said that Raheem Sterling's camp has released a statement.
So am I making a factual comment referencing the news or not?
No, you're not. Let me understand this. If
Daily Mail said Raheem Sterling's camp releases a statement, I'm referencing Daily Mail. How am I wrong?
You say Raheem Sterling's camp has released a statement on the first match day. And now I'm telling you that.
Now wait, when was the statement released? When was the news released?
You see, you are just being disingenuous.
Am I asking a question?
Crack, Corey.
You are just being disingenuous.
Wait, cool down. Van Gelder, was the statement released during the game?
No.
When was it released?
Was it released before the game?
No statement was released. That's the point I'm arriving at.
Okay, was the news broken before the game?
So where's the news from?
Was the news broken before the game?
Yes, they decided to break the news before the game.
Was the headline Raheem Sterling's camp releases a statement?
Yes.
Kuda, thank you. Let me continue before you can't give your semantics. If you go do research. I don't care about your research. Let me go with my head.
At the end of the day. No. If the news is wrong, you can't reference that news and say, because I use the same words as the news is right.
Let me tell you, it's a lie.
They ask you for a statement. You make a statement, then they say, you've done this.
Let me tell you something. I don't think it's my duty to go into details and find out what is right or wrong. It's you, okay? So when it's your turn, you can dispute it. I don't care. Let me make my point. You all worked up like we care. You think you are trying to correct anybody here? Look into my eye. Tell me, what do you see? Am I red?
I'm gonna get Charles. I'm gonna slap you through the microphone.
See, I tell you, say the energy I get for Chelsea fans this is here is unprecedented. You go hit me down. You think I care about your feelings? You think I care about what's right or wrong? Daily Mail said it. I believe Daily Mail. You like go by the sea. Right now, let me tell you something, right? Chelsea's first 11, the only player that should be in the first 11 is only Romeo Lavia. He's the only player that should be starting for Chelsea. The rest will be Zuko. The rest will be nonsense. Look, this is what happens when you give a racist a captain and man. When a racist shan, but you can't bench him. But you give him a captain, so he will play. We saw Enzo play as a 10. We saw Enzo drawback play as a 6. Once Enzo can play 8. No, we all saw what happened to the goal. We all saw what happened. Just like last season. But then pass the midfield. No goal. Lavia was a beast. Was a monster. He should have continued playing. The coach sapped him. I don't know why. Right now,
be fresh. He said he not played 80 games.
Neto is an injury waiting to happen. You force the boy, make him play. You get in Kunku. You go force in Kunku, make him play left wing. When in Kunku's natural position is a 10,
it'd be striker. It'd be second striker.
It'd be SS or ST. You go play him for the wings. To do what? Most of the players where they start last season, where they try, you bench them. Do you know, it was easy to take Kopama out of the game. Just double team him, knowing that the rest are useless. And it was clear. Kopama, what you know they understand, they say, right now you are coming to get the treatment of a superstar. Teams go start double you. How you think fast will show the difference. not to praise this player, but it'd be true. He's coming to get a Saka treatment. That'd be when people go see Saka Nosha. When people them eye start climb there on top, it'd be different ball game together. And I'm telling you that, how have you bought 12 players in one summer? And who knew 11? You bought 12 players without even selling 12 players. No, do you know how crazy it is that you had to buy 12 players? So meaning that you already had 33 players. When you go buy 12, there are 12 with the dash for inside. You go buy 12 Ado. No, really, ever since you start watching football, my nose here, I don't even want to bring oil. See, ever since you start watching football, when you see team aside Nottingham Forest,
apart from Forest,
and even Nottingham Forest, not get 46, 45 players. Make we take the 3 players, how this boy say, other teams can't sign.
No.
42 players.
Crack. So, they're very small. J like 5 or 6. Even take dash them safe. It's still too big.
Make I give you 6 safe. 39 players.
It's still
and
too
the 39
much.
Players, you still get 3 set of 11. Right? You still get 3 set of 11 with 6 added on as bonus. Where you know you say you go play under 21.
You say youngsters day inside.
Look, their average age is like 24. They still have youngsters. All of them youngsters. We don't care. Jackson is every youngster. We don't care whoever the youngster. It's a stupid strategy.
Let's be fair and let's Vangelda also see what he has on his chest.
You see,
my red.
It's all fair and good if we just want to kinda, you know, banter, laugh at this team, laugh at them. It's fair. I welcome it all day, every day, twice on Sunday.
Why, like you got option? But, I don't understand though. Oh, what this guy they talk say is all fun and games when
But
you see, when you start counting. You start adding players that are no longer in the team, players that have been sold, players that are on loan, players that play in under 21, under 18.
Can you count those for us and remove them?
Okay. Make you read the list again. Everybody
That's long. I mean, you heard the list.
I counted 45 here. I counted 45. Can we take 10 out?
Or you want to bring J12?
Hold on, can we take 10 out?
What exactly? Oh, how exactly do you want me to answer this question?
You said I had players with and they alone, players and so and everything. You would have dashed with them.
Mate, with that, I mean,
how many? So, if we get 12, so you left 33. So, I want to ask a question, right? How many top teams, right, have an average of 3 players per position?
I don't know. I don't support other top teams.
I rest my case. Today, you don't support other teams, but you have a lot to say about other teams.
Let me finish. When we went on US, when we went to this USA preseason tour,
how many players did you take?
28.
Take 2 players.
No, 28. Chelsea went with a 28-man squad. At the end of the day, are they on our books? Are some of these people on our books, like Lukaku, Kepa? Yes, they are.
What is this guy talking about?
However, I don't think it's fair to start saying they know we'll get space for dressing room, they know we'll get space for training pitch, when they don't even train with the team.
We are talking about the players where they know. You see, I don't like this thing. You took 28 players to your US tour. That US tour, since you were there, how many players you signed? United, we can also tell you that we left players at Carrington, right? We left players at Carrington. Can we also say that because of that, we take them out of the squad? Which kind of argument? Let's be factual here. Let's be real. When you go to, you know, all your players, you take go to. So stop this thing you dey talk. No? So you think 28 players who are the players who then they call by no, they be who players.
Correct.
No, no, see, I want to ask a question. The players where then they call by no, who players?
I don't know whose players they are because they are definitely nonsense. Not ours anymore.
They are not. Who said
at the end of the day? At the end of the day, you brought up the whole training why, and Kaiga said they do the Potter said the squad are bloated and he didn't have place to train, and Poch said the same thing.
Potter said they didn't have place to train. I never said that. You are the one way they deal with facts. I said they had the bloated squad. They can't even fit in the dressing room. That's what he said. I never said where to train.
Okay.
Potter
never said that. It was the media who said it. But sure, go off. At the end of the day,
everything. I'm really shocked. Everything. Yeah, this guy
is crowded. Stop. No, just disregarding the reports as if we are picking them from the Sun and through the.
Corey. He said that he was.
The media has an agenda against Chelsea. We understand.
Let's
not. I don't want to interrupt him, but Bangura, don't also disregard the reports like it's not true.
If you say
don't try and start saying things like lies.
Corey. Mm-hmm. If you say Potter said, you are quoting the guy, no?
Oh, let's not do this semantics.
It's not semantics.
Potter just said he had a squad. Potter did when Potter was in charge, there was an issue with Chelsea's squad. He mentioned it. When Pochettino was there, he mentioned it as well. And these are not being reported by anybody.
By the time the transfer window closed last summer, Pochettino had 27 players to work with. 27.
Okay.
27. That was his full squad for last summer. That was the number of players that Chelsea registered for 2022-2023 season. And that's the... 2023-2024, he had 27 players to work with.
Okay. And that's...
Let me come to my point. If you are talking about squad size, you say Chelsea have 4 11s and they have one on top. Those are players that Chelsea have signed all together. Yes. If you are talking about the squad size, then I'm sorry, you can't add players that the manager does not train with on a daily basis. You just can't.
Okay, Van Gelder. Okay, we won't add them. I want to realign you to the point. The point had to do with what Carragher said. When he said, why would you continue going to Chelsea when they already have a bloated? You just made your whole point. You said they only registered 27 players last season. So if you have signed more, you keep signing. And these people are not going to be registered or people are going to be unregistered. His point is that as a player, I'm going to a team where most likely they might not be able to register me or some season will come, then they just go Jamie out in the cold, then I have to go find a new club. So his point is that as the point he was making was simple, that why would you go and put yourself in that position when that is what is going on there? You are being emotional about it.
Sorry.
It's a factual thing. Why would I continue to go to Chelsea?
Let's not let this boy off the hook here. Quickly before we go, we don't waste time on Chelsea, right? Last season, you say you registered 27 players, right?
Mm-hmm.
You registered 27 players. Bangal, I ask a question.
Yeah, I've answered.
Good. Out of the 27 players, right? Thiago Silva go. Mm-hmm. All right?
Uh-huh.
Who again go?
Gallagher
is not gone yet, but sure. Make account. Two.
He's gone.
Oh, cool.
He's gone.
Two.
Broja.
Three. That's an airy silence, bro.
No, I'm trying to.
We will end the argument. We will give him time. Continue. Three.
Leslie is gone on loan. So Leslie Ugochukwu is gone on loan.
Okay, four. We know they count loan players again. We know they count, boys. So four.
Mm-hmm. You know they count or you they count? Which is which?
We know they count. We know they count loan players.
So you like, not
I'm
count
counting it to the players that go. We know they count in addition to the squad. As you go loan, you know they your books. So you, even though they pay them, you know they your books. So you, yeah, so four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's it. I can't remember anyone else.
So, cool down. Thank you. So you have four players gone, right? So you have 23 players you take them this season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you've signed 12 players.
Okay, let's go through the
12 players.
Let's go through the 12 players. Let's go through the 12. It not be problem. Let's go through the 12.
Okay, Vangara, no, you give us
me, your 12. I don't know that we've signed.
That are meant for the first team. Tell me the players you have signed that are meant for the first. Now coming to add to the 23.
Okay, so we've signed a new goalkeeper. The 12. So we signed a new goalkeeper, one. We've signed Tosin, two. We've signed Dewsby Hall, three. We've signed Neto, four. And today we've signed, what's his name? João Felix, five.
So the Atletico Madrid player, you forget that, right?
Who?
Which Felix? Is it which Felix? The Nigerian guy, no? That one, you know Adam, right?
But I
it didn't
player.
Go through. It was
our player.
It collapsed.
He's not our player.
It didn't go through. It collapsed before
the...
So,
Vega,
okay, Vega
so,
6.
Vega, 6. Let's
say Vega 6, yes. Mm-hmm. Are you sure that's all?
That's all I can remember. Who else have we signed that I've missed?
See, yeah, you put down. I can't Google right now. Give me 1 minute. Make I show you.
I think, yeah, the Basa, the Gu.
You go think, sir, seven. We still the go, yeah. But you say they carry only three.
That'll be your seven.
seven players for the first team. So essentially,
even if we add the seven players, you have 30 players. Even if we add the seven
you
players,
you have 30 players.
But out of that 30, the club is actively. You see,
oh Jesus Christ!
It's actively trying to sell Chilwell, and so they are not playing with the first team. They are not even training with the first team.
Now players that it's
trying
I don't
to
get
sell,
it.
Okay, Trevor Chalobah.
Okay.
Chalobah.
So now let's point out the treatment of these players. Go on. Including Gallagher, but go on.
Gallagher is gone, so I won't count.
But I'm talking about. It still happened. This is fresh. Don't disregard it. Like
I'm not disregarding it. But if the guy is not there anymore,
I beg you. So far, make I mention this list, right? Make I take job. Make I take job.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He counted six players. It was seven players that
he counted seven. This guy say Kai Olifo.
That were for the
Bashir Humphreys is gone as well. He's joined Burnley.
Who down?
Okay.
You buy Drewsbury Hall from Leicester City, 35 million. Are you lying?
He said that
how
was
much
one.
You bought
yes.
him for doesn't matter.
Hey, right now, just okay.
Mention the names.
You buy Drewsbury Hall one. You buy Jorgensen two. You buy Kellerman, three.
Kellerman plays for under 18. Continue. No, continue.
You buy Aaron Aselmino from Argentina. Boca Juniors.
He's still there. He hasn't even come to London. So continue.
Okay, so it's for the future. Okay, no.
We don't understand this nonsense this guy did.
No. What you will not do is add a player guys in Argentina.
Okay, you buy Vega. Relax. You buy Vega. You buy Caleb Wiley.
He's in Strasbourg. No, if
crack,
you know DHL, so what are you going to
do?
You buy my guy.
Gui, yes. Four.
Eh?
Magui, four. Okay.
Which four? I see, which
four. Go on. Four. Crap.
Adarabio or whatever five. For Fulham.
He was free, but five. Uh-huh.
You buy Pedro Neto.
Six. Mm-hmm.
You buy João Felix.
Seven.
You buy keeper. The keeper will be named Zef.
Is it not the first? Did you two count Jorgensen already?
No, not counting the Jorgensen.
You talked about Jorgensen. It's a recording.
Continue.
So cool down.
You finish.
So cool down.
So seven, right?
So it's 30. So they have 30. They have 30 players in the first team.
It'll not be 30.
Mm-hmm.
It'll not be 30.
So if you say we have 30 players in the first team.
Oh, I say it'll not be 30.
It'll be 30.
Oh, the 30, but they take somebody out.
Yes. Because when I was counting before, I didn't add Bashir Humphreys, who's left on, who's gone to Burnley. Did I? It's on recording, so you can play back.
No, he didn't.
I didn't
now,
add him.
Now, Van Gelder, we are still missing the original points because of agenda. The reason is that when you have a bloated squad, people are being bought for 100 million and then benched the next season. People are not, there's no clear direction, which is very clear in Chelsea that the direction is very haphazard. Make her land. Do you really have to defend everything?
Make Corey finish in point.
You people, why? Sure. I go mute. Like, we go mute. See, I got a crack.
You know, okay. Corey, make me wrap up because time.
Yeah. let's not move away from the original point that was made. When you have a squad like this, that is just, you guys look like you have no direction, haphazard. You look a bit like how United looked before the Ineos people. But my point is that when you have such a team, his point is that why would you want to go to that club? And that's just the point he was trying to raise, that you said was disrespectful. He's asking
a question, and he was talking about somebody who was
a professional player.
Yes, and he was being specific as a caliber of player.
Yeah,
as a caliber of player, he wasn't just talking about any player
that he had. Corey,
I can appreciate the point that yes, to you and I that
we don't think you appreciate the point.
You and I that we sit outside, it looks haphazard. To you and I that we sit outside, the direction doesn't look clear. But the people in charge of Chelsea know exactly what they want and are absolutely
So you, this point you make in the entire month, this point you make, I'm not going to make you learn. This point you talk, say, you they sit outside, you they sit outside, you don't know better past the Chelsea. Why you did a podcast where they talk about Chelsea? If you know they know better than you, why do you criticize the club? Why do you sit down and say, why is this player starting? This coach is trash and things. Then you have to shut up. What do you mean a player like Jamie Carragher not get right talk about Chelsea? You know, past Carragher. Say that, Seth. You are making a point saying that you and Carragher or your voice no go anywhere. So why make you also listen to your voice? If your voice no go anywhere, if the club no go matter for you, why make you also talk about who listen to you? So this point you use against Jamie Carragher, say, here yeah, you are, you don't know better past the people than the club.
So what will the next topic? Yes.
At long
last, who am I, Lord? Who am I to see your presence?
Our football trivia segment where we just test our football knowledge and see who is who knows what. And like the last episode, Van Gelder really smashed our 3-0 for the chance. Oh, wow. Was it 3-0? Oh, yeah. Oh, so, Van Gelder did inform. So you know where they step Van Gelder is next top today.
A little win for you is good. At least you have to win in something.
You put in a step by Gelder and next up today. They come for you in this segment. So let's just start. So the first one, I'm taking it to Corey. I'm a Norwegian striker who played 91 times for Norway, and I am the fifth highest scorer in their history. I've played for Valencia, Lyon, and a Premier League team between 2007 and 2011. Who am I?
Bro, you lost me at fifth best, like Norwegian strikers. I probably know like quarter, like not even a full player, like quarter of a name, something sin. Listen, you completely lost me. I not been this one inside.
Smiley,
Norwegian striker, brother.
He said he played with him.
So he played for Valencia, Lyon, and another Premier League team between 2007 and 2011. Norwegian striker, fifth highest scorer in their history.
The only Norwegian striker we are not currently. If I will mention only one name, Erik Haaland. If he be wrong, he be Haaland. He bad me name.
Because see, I'm saying play inside. I get it. Talk Alan. What kind of nonsense?
I said the only Norwegian striker I know. What the guy would do?
See,
what happened to Norwegian strikers, you know?
Spend it. I'll be very frank. This one, the Norwegian striker. You talk Swedish striker, say, now if he talks something Norwegian. Hey, buddy. If I tell you, make it tell me Djibouti, the best striker, you go fit tell me.
So, nobody here, since Corey has given up, nobody here can take
Maza,
it.
You say Norwegian striker. You mention four Norwegian players, make us see quick. Mention four, make us see quick. Sia. Current players of Valencia, Lyon.
There's nobody I know from that country.
Wait, I beg it. You say which season to which season?
2007 and 2011 played for a Premier League team.
Okay.
And okay, let me narrow it down a bit. That Premier League team has won the Champions League before.
How many Premier League teams they win? Aston Villa, Nottingham Forest. Okay, so there was a season where Aston Villa was on top, where they had John Carew.
That's the answer, John Carew.
John Carew.
The fact that John Carew is from Norway is ridiculous. That's the first point.
Thank you.
That's the first point.
That's from Norway. Wallahi, I don't know the country, bro.
You see the emotional way you know what I'm saying?
No, black man, he might like...
Okay to
you know, I don't even... Like, because if you say Sweden, I don't say at least some black people play Sweden, right? But Norway, I don't know which...
So yeah, John Carew, you got the answer. So this one, since crack got that one, I'll take this one to crack. So I am a Canadian-born Dutch midfielder. I am a Canada-born Dutch midfielder.
That is Antoine Semenyon. Jeremy Frimpong.
Relax.
Sorry. Okay.
I am a Canada-born Dutch midfielder who played for Swansea between 2012 and 2014. I also played for Napoli and Villarreal. I was part of the Netherlands team that finished third at the World Cup in 2014. Who am I?
Ide Aston Villa right now. Your player
between 2012 to 2014.
Hey, 2012 to 2014, Swansea. Yes, your player. The one day Villa Ryan, what be name?
That's for Swansea between 2012 and 2014.
Swansea.
Also part of the Netherlands team that finished third at the World Cup in 2014.
Me, mom, they are not the answer. But
he's a black guy. He's a black guy.
Yes, he is. Yes,
he's a black guy, and he's a number 8. Oh my god,
I know the answer. Make a talk or make a wait. Make it
come on for that.
No, we're not playing for Swansea.
I will give countdown 5, 4, 3.
Charlie, I don't know. Who that?
2, Van Gelder,
Jonathan de Guzman.
Correct.
Oh, bloody hell. Good shot. Oh my god.
If the Dutch you talk when you talk 2014 when you make a kai, you don't be the other teams you add, because the other teams the entity confuse me. In left hand, I don't know where again you go.
Because then that's what I want, Kai. Okay. That's some, a good shot. That's a funny name.
The Guzman.
That's okay. A really good name. You know the friend, they pay me because I knew the answer.
Honestly, I don't.
I don't know my. I don't say I don't know my answer. So you.
They can't give you somebody way if they fight the Russia-Ukraine war, did they?
Okay, so Van Gelder, make I give you this one. I want to make them a bit hard small, so I'm not giving as many details.
I don't say you hate me, but what can I say?
So I am a goalkeeper who started going bald during my career. I kept the most clean sheets in the Premier League in the 2002-2003 season, and I played for Blackburn. Who am I?
You play for Blackburn.
Yes.
Tom Friedel.
Oh, what?
You got the first name wrong.
Brad Friedel.
Brad Friedel.
Brad Friedel.
Oh my God, I know that. It be Corey Ho.
I
was about to say it, Brad Friedel.
As soon as he talk,
he play Black Bear, no. Bad giveaway, play Black Bear, no. We all want to go. See what I want.
You get the winter striker.
See, last week, you hear last week questions.
No, you give me dual citizenship.
Okay. Last one.
Yeah, Don Karu. Use Smiley the tapping. Answer this question. Don Karu, where does he come from? Whatever the other are thinking, it's
well,
never wrong with
one line. I think that guy from France.
Yeah, bro, if Africa, he be Irish or them other islands from Scots or Ireland.
I beg. Make a game. So this one goes out to the US.
Shout out to our viewers and listeners.
So I am an Argentine player who was the former captain of Newcastle, who I played for between 2008 and 2016.
Newcastle.
I also played for AC Milan and Deportivo. Who am I? So we've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done this already, please follow us on our social media pages. On Twitter, Instagram is ATWPodcastGCR. On TikTok, it's After The Whistle. You can also search for us on YouTube, After The Whistle Podcast. And search for us on all podcast platforms. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Deezer, wherever you find podcasts, we did it. Also, remember, the voting is still ongoing for the APVA Podcast Awards. We'll post the voting link in the episode notes. So vote for us, Sports Podcast of the Year. Again, we are going up against podcasts from Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa. And they vote heavy. So
we can't compete. Please help us.
We will compete unless we hire Man City. 100, then later, if we win for this, then we can't give 112 times. sorry.
For 5, we will ring the ballot. But yeah. Tell you guys, thank you again for joining us on this one. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.
This has been a Gold Coast Reports production. Catch up on episodes and discover more shows from our network on listen2gcr.com.